Good morning, everyone. Today's daf and gittin is Mem Beis. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is known as Yechon and Shmas Liba Gavriela Bashmuel. Thank Dan for taking care of the daf yesterday. We were away for Shabbos. Let's pick up on the towards the bottom of the Amud, just as a quick chazara. The Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Alpha Mid Beis detail the halacha. What would be if you had a chasi avid chasi ben cholrin? And so he's in a funny halachic predicament. He's half a slave and he's half a free man. The simplest way to arrive at this state of affairs is where he had two owners, and one of the owners freed him, and the other 50% ownership group did not free him. So he's in a state of chatsi ev chatsi ben chorin. So Beis Hillel says that's not a problem. So what he'll do is basically he'll divide his time. I'm half owned, I'm half free, so fine. So 6-day work week. So three of those days I'll work for myself, and three of those days I'll work for my master, and we'll figure it out. So Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday I'll work for me, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday I'll work for my master, or whatever. However you'll want to split the days up. But that's what Beis Hillel says. So Beis Shammai says, that's great. Tikantem es rabo, that's great for the master. But meanwhile, think about it for a moment, who's he going to marry? And so, can he marry somebody who is Jewish? No, he can't, because he's a Chatzi Eved. And so that Chatzi Eved does not allow him to marry somebody who's Jewish. Can he marry a Shifcha Kananis? No, because he's a Chatzi Ben Chorin. Half of him is a Jew. So who's he going to marry? And what are you going to tell me? Okay, so they don't get married? No, that's impossible. So the Mitzvah Puru Revu, Tosfos yesterday's daf explained why the Gemara doesn't use the words actually Puru Revu, but the Mitzvah of Sheves. Okay, there's a mitzvah to propagate, and you can't prevent someone from propagating. So Beis Shammai says it's an impossible situation. We're going to go over to the remaining ownership group, and we're going to say tell the remaining ownership group, really sorry, but you have to divest your ownership of him, and you have to allow him to become a fully free person. So that is Beis Shammai's position, and Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, you know what, you're right. Okay, point taken. So that's what's going to happen. That was the mission that we saw yesterday. Then the Gemara brought down the following. What if you're Meshacher Chatzi Evan? If you're Meshacher Chatzi Evan, we're not talking about now where two people owned a Evan Kanani. We're talking about a single person. A single person owned an Evan Kanani, and you freed half of him. Okay, now what would be the point of doing such a thing? I don't know. And that's and not that it's inconsequential, but the question on the table is, can you do that? In other words, can you divest half of the ownership of your Evan Kanani? So in the Braisa that the Gemara quoted, it's a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe's of the opinion that if you're Meshacher Chatzi Eved Kone, meaning good, you are now he's half free, only one more half to go. And the Chachamim say no, there's no Kenyan. Meaning there's no such thing as Shechur Chatzi Eved. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. To which, after the Gemara presented the Machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, so then there was a Machlokas Amoraim, a subsequent Machlokas Amoraim. So let me just outline the two positions, and then we'll go on to today's daf. Position number one is Rabba. Rabba's of the opinion that this whole Machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim about the ability to be Meshachur Chatzi Eved is only talking about Shtar. Meaning in a Shtar, it's all or nothing. According to the Chachamim. So either when you write your emancipation document and you hand it over to your Evan Kanani, it's one of two options. Either you don't write it or you write it and you free him in his entirety. There is no such thing as giving him a half freedom through a shtar. However, if it's kesef, everyone agrees kesef you can do in increments. In other words, you could prorate. You know, he costs, I'm just throwing out numbers, he costs $1,000 to be freed, so I have $500, so okay. So he, you know, someone gives me $500 for half, fine, so half of him is free. So in other words, when it comes to kesef, of course by kesef, we can divide, we can prorate, and we can free half of him. So Rabbi says that when it comes to shtar, that's machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim, but if it's kesef, Kuli Amma, everyone agrees that you can be Meshacher Chatzi Eved when it comes to Kesef. That is Rabba's understanding of the Machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rav Yosef, now Rav Yosef yesterday's daf went through a little modification. Rav Yosef, the way Rav Yosef is eventually presented is that according to Rav Yosef, the Machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim is both by Shtar and by Kesef. So, just like let me say it like this. According to the Chachamim, you cannot free a Chatzi Eved neither with Shtar nor with Kesef. The only way you can be Meshacher Eved Kanani is either all or nothing. And that's true both by Shtar and by Kesef. And then, according to Rebbe, no. Rebbe says that you can be Meshacher in increments, both by Shtar and by Kesef. That's the machlokus between Rabbi and Rav Yosef in terms of how to understand the machlokus between the between Rabbi and the Chachamim. Okay, so that's the Amud Beis. That's my Ma'alf Amud Beis in a nutshell.
What's your problem with Rabbi
with the Huh? No, again, let's not. Don't.
You cannot.
Yeah, I understand. It becomes right. In other words, then you enter into the Mishnah's issue.
Right.
Right. Once a Mishnah and a half, then you're going to enter into the Mishnah's issue. But according to the Chachamim, when you attempted to be a Mishnah and a half, you're a Mishnah none.
Right.
So then you.
No, okay. Question about that.
Right. So now, so let's. I'm going to do your point, but we're going to do it. We're going to do it the other way. So now that we have these, now that we have the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, and now we have the subsequent machlokas between Rab and Rav Yosef in terms of how to understand the machlokas. Now we turn back to our Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah that started this whole discussion. Now, who's our Mishnah going like? This was a Gemara's question at the end of yesterday's daf. Who's our Mishnah going like? Because our Mishnah talks about Achasi Avir Chasi Ben Chorin. So the Gemara says it works out pretty well. We're going to start on the bottom, on the very bottom of Mem Alpha Mud Beis.
Actually, we didn't do it then. We never went to.
Forgive. Oh, it's okay. Where did?
No, just we said Leimet Bavukam. I think almost.
Oh, that happened like the Gemara was very short or hectic.
Okay.
Leimet Bavukam. I think.
Lema.
Yeah, we did that. Then.
Okay. Oh, you didn't even do Rav Yosef yesterday.
No.
Okay, fine. Oh, fine. I'll back it up. Okay. Okay. So let's start again. So Amar Rabba. Okay. So let's go back now. All
right.
So let's do this quickly, because otherwise we're going to fall behind. Okay. So let's do this quickly. So the Gemara starts off. Let's start from the Gemara. Tan Rabban Mishach Chachazi Avdo Rabbi Amar Kan V'Chachamim Lo Kan. Okay. And by the way, now at this point in time, everyone knows the Shita, so we're good. So if you're Mishach half of your Avdo, so Rabbi says that's good, meaning it's effective. Meaning it's not good, but it's effective. Meaning you were mishachar chatzi avid, and chachamim say no, it did nothing. So now Amar Rabba machlokes b'shtar. The only debate between Rabbi and the chachamim is only b'shtar. Rabbi said, "Rabbi havdelon ifdaso chupsalon itanla make ishtar lekesef." In the pasuk, which is now the second time recording this pasuk regarding our shivcha charufa, our shivcha who is somewhat married to an eved ivri. Okay, I know that it sounds a little funny, but that's just the easiest way to say it. She's somewhat married to an eved ivri, and then she goes ahead and she has a quote unquote adulterous affair. So it's not fully adultery because she's not fully married. So the Torah says that under those circumstances, he has to bring a karban asham. But in the meantime, however, we're focusing on the following. The Torah says, "V'havdelon ifdasa." There's no pigeon. That's money. Ochupsalon italon. She was not given a document. That's star. So now, make ishtar lekesef. What the Torah is doing is giving us a very clear hekesh. Ma kesef ben kula ben chetzio, afshar nami ben kula ben chetzio. Rabbi will tell you, according to Rabbah, it's very simple. With the hekesh, we come to learn. Just like money can be done incrementally, shtar can also be done incrementally. The Rabbanan gamri lala misha. And the Chachamim will say, No, in other words, we're not going to. The hekesh is there, and I'm not disputing the hekesh. But above the hekesh, what we have is a gzeirah shavah. Meaning, how do we know that an emancipation of an eved or shivcha can be done with shtar? We learn it out through gzeirah shavah from isha. Ma isha chetzia lo af eved, nami chetzia lo. When it comes to the divorce of a woman, you don't divorce half a woman. You either divorced or you're not divorced. It's either all or nothing. So avav bekesef divrei hakol kana. Paduya, veina paduya. Okay, so now when it comes to kesef, obviously kesef can be done incrementally because that's just simply in the nature of money. And when the Torah describes the shivcha charufa, it describes her as being paduya veina paduya. She's redeemed and she's not redeemed. Well, how can that be? She's either redeemed or she's not redeemed. No, but that's talking about money. And since money can be done in increments, so therefore she could be half redeemed with money. Okay, so that is right now Rabbah's understanding of the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. So again, Rebbe says half a shichur would work. According to Rabbah, that's by money and that's by shtar. Why? Because of the hekesh. According to the Chachamim, no. It's only by money, it's not by shtar. Why? Because shtar, we have a gzeirah shavah. And the Gemara says, Lema b'hakim ifli, marsav hekesh adif, or marsav gzeirah shavah adifa. And maybe the Gemara says, really what's at the root over here of this debate is, where we have two ways to make a limud, one is a gzeirah shavah, and the other is a hekesh. Maybe what's at issue over here is, what's preferable? what is the better way to make a limud? Is it gzeir shava or is it going to be hekesh? Lo, the kuli am gzeir shava adifa. The Gemara says no, gzeir shava is really better. So that's interesting. The Gemara says gzeir shava is unequivocally better than a hekesh. Why should that be? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, so Rashi writes. The kevan, yeah, that's what Rashi is going to say. The kevan, the mufna lidrosh, havale command the kasve begufa dekra. So Rashi says, look, when it comes to gzeir shava, so what does it take to make a gzeir shava? It takes superfluous words in the Torah. And that means that those superfluous words are basically screaming at us, look, you know, obviously it was unnecessary for us to be written. We're written over here for a reason. Meaning there's something actively telling us to look at the gzeir shava. And Rashi also makes an additional point. And that is, how do we ever arrive at a gzeir shava? We don't create a gzeir shava. Gzeir shava can only be made if it has a mesorah from Har Sinai. So gzeir shava can only be made if it has a mesorah from Har Sinai. So another reason why gzeir shava is just more compelling, it's stronger than that of a hekesh. Okay, so for those reasons, says Rashi, the gzeir shava is just stronger than the hekesh. So gzeir shava is stronger than a hekesh. That favors the chachamim. That's against Rebbe. Vishani hacha deikal mifrach malisha shkenei niyotze bekesev tamer beavish yotze bekesev. You have gzeir shava over here, but it is weakened. Why is gzeir shava weakened? Because look, what are we're doing? We're comparing an eved to an isha in terms of how they leave their position. Now wait one second, the Gemara says. When it comes to a woman, there's only one way for her to leave her position, and that is shtar. When it comes to an eved kenani, there's two ways they can leave their position, shtar and or kesef. No, I mean, or. That's a better conjunction. So shtar or kesef. So there are two ways they can leave their current situation. So I'm making a gzeir shava, but we understand that fundamentally the gzeir shava is a flawed gzeir shava. Comparing a woman to an eved kenani when it's not exactly the same. That's what the Gemara says. That's why in this particular case, generally, gzeir shava is stronger. But in this particular case, I saw myself saying hekesh. In this particular case, so the hekesh is going to be in a better position. Virav Yosef Amar. Okay, so Adkan, that takes us now to the position of Rabbah, and Rabbah's understanding of the machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Now we turn to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef Amar machlokes bekesef. The Rebbe Savar Vavdil and Ivdasa, Puduy Ven Puduya. Okay, the whole machlokis in the mish in the brisa is only by kesef. Why? Rebbe's of the opinion havdela nivdasa peduya vede peduya. Because look, like we said earlier, when the Torah says that this shivcha charufa was redeemed and not redeemed, well, which one is it? So it's partial. And why is it partial? Because it's money. So v'rabban savrei dibratar kolashem bnei adam. No, and the chachamim will tell you no. When the Torah says she's redeemed, not redeemed, that's not what the Torah meant. Torah meant redeemed? Nah, she's not redeemed. Meaning, the Torah speaking like you and I would speak. Dibra Torah, Kalasha Bnei Adam. So from the Chachamim's perspective, even with money, it can't be done incrementally. The Torah never offers a suggestion in terms of a Shivcha, or for that matter, Neve Kenani, being partially redeemed with money. And again, the pasuk Avdelo Nivdasa is just, it's an expression. It means, is she redeemed? No, she's not redeemed. So, Aval B'Shtar Divrei HaKol Lo Kana. Now, when it comes to Shtar, that's a no-brainer. When it comes to Shtar, obviously you can't do a partial, according to both Rebbe and according to the Chachamim. Okay, Meitzvei. The Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you what, Rav Yosef, in theory, your position is good, but it doesn't work out. Look at the following Braisa. Ameshacher Chazi Avdo B'Shtar. Here the Braisa says, you redeem half of your Eved Kenani using a shtar. And then Rebbe Omer Kana v'Chachamim Lo Kana. So we have a Braisa and it's a machlokis between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Now, Rav Yosef just asserted that according to both, you can't do a partial pigeon with a shtar. And meanwhile, we have a Braisa that says that it's a machlokis. To Yufta de Rav Yosef, to Yufta. So the Gemara says, okay, we've refuted Rav Yosef's position. And now the Gemara says, now he's down, so kick him. I don't literally mean that, but in other words, but we could totally tear apart his position. Look, they're only arguing about shtar. What does that mean regarding kesef? Must mean that they agree regarding kesef that you can do a partial redemption. So lema tavit yufta Rav Yosef betarte. And the Gemara says now Rav Yosef's position, not only has it been refuted, double refuted, meaning he's wrong about the shtar and he's wrong about the kesef. So a double refutation of Rav Yosef's position. Amlachav Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says no. What we'll do is we'll modify. He'll modify his position and we'll resurrect it. So, pligi b'shtar v'huad d'mekesef. Really, the machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim is whether or not you could do a partial pigeon at all. Rebbe says you can, and the Chachamim say you can't. And when Rebbe says you can, he's talking both about shtar and by kesef, and the Chachamim say you can't. That's talking both about shtar and by kesef. So the Gemara says, and the only reason why the Braisa highlighted shtar is just to tell you, Rebbe really believes in partial pigeon. Even by shtar, he believes in partial pigeon. Now, the Gemara says, fascinating. Why not have a debate regarding kesef to show off the position of the Chachamim, where the Chachamim really don't believe in partial redemption? Even by money, they don't believe in. So the Gemara's answer, koch de tera adifle. The Gemara says, yeah, but look, it's better to show off the position of Rebbe, because he's a makel in this regard. Now, by the way, makel over here is a little, it's not so clear cut that this is a bona fide kula, that now he's partially redeemed. He's partially redeemed. He's in a bad position now. Who can he marry? In other words, it's funny the Gemara refers to this as a kula, but the Gemara does, and the Gemara says, look, we have a general rule. If I have an option of showing off a makel position or a machmir position, loves to show off a makel position, Rebbe, let's just say it simply, Rebbe is being more makel, because he's allowing for a partial redemption. Why is it better to flex the makel position? So the Rashi in the beginning of Masech the Beitza says, look, anyone can be machmir. It doesn't take much to be machmir. It just simply means, I really don't know the halacha, you know what? I'll be machmir. I'll stay on the safe side. But when you're being makel, that means that you are clear about your position, you know and are confident about your position, and so koach de hetera adif. That's the way Rashi explains why it's always better to show off the more makel position. Tashma the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Vavdei yachol lakol. Tamalamar lo nivdasa. Ilon nivdasa yachol lakol. Tamalamar vahavdei. Haketza peduya vena peduya. Bekesef v'shev v'kesef. So the Braisa starts off by saying that what do we have over here? We have a person who is partially redeemed. Now, that's true when it comes to money. How about when it comes to shtar? Tamalamar vahavdei lo nivdasa. O chupsa lo nitan la. Lahalanomar v'kasav la. Sefer Krisos. Ma lahalam v'shtar afkan v'shtar. So we know the word chupas as a reference to the star. So, ainli ala chetze bekesef okulu b'shtar. Chetze b'shtar minayin? Great. Once I learn shtar from the get of a woman, well, I know get a woman, it's all or nothing. So how do I know that the shtar of an eva kanani, shifka kanani, can be done partially? Tamalam rav avdei lo nivdaso, chupsan lo nitan la, make yishtar la kesef, ma kesef ben kulu ben chetzio, af shtar nami ben kulu ben chetzio. Answer? Hekesh. Hekesh tells us that just like by money it can be done partially, so too by shtar it can be done partially. So the Gemara says, fine. Bishlam le rav Yosef, barthu di susif hamani rabbi hi. Now, according to rav Yosef, you know who this Bryce is following? The Bryce is meaning in the modified version of Rav Yosef, meaning not the first version of Rav Yosef, but in the modified version of Rav Yosef, where they're having a full blown machlokus of whether or not we subscribe to partial redemption or not. So good. So the author of the Braisa is Rebbe, because Rebbe will tell you that you could do a partial redemption both on money and on shtar. But El Rabba Reisha Divrakov Sefer Rebbe. So, but according to Rabba, what just happened in the Braisa? The Reisha of the Braisa is going according to everybody, because we're talking about money, and everybody allows a partial redemption according to Rabba with money. And then as we get to the Sefer is only limited to the position of Rebbe. So Amalcha Rabba, Rabba says, yeah, right. That's correct. In Reisha Divrei Yaakov Sefer Rebbe. So that, yeah, Rabbah will tell you that's exactly how I learned the Braisa. Okay, now, Ravashi Amar Rebbe Hi, Elamasis and I'm sorry, Ravashi Amar Rebbe Hi. And Ravashi says, look, it's not even such a strong kasha to begin with. Meaning, the Braisa from the very beginning to the very end is holding like Rebbe, meaning according to Rabbah. So the truth of the matter is that the Braisa doesn't even pose any challenge whatsoever to Rabbah's position. Okay. Ella Masnitzin. Diktani Mishachet Yoav Vechetzi Ben Chorin. Now, finally. So, it took us a while to get to this point, but here we are now. We have presented the Machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim, the two Shitas Amarayim, both Rab and Rav Yosef, of how to understand the Machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim, and now we finally go all the way back to our Mishnah, which we saw in the which we saw in yesterday's daf, and that is, you have in the Mishnah a Chati Eved Chati Ben Chorin, a person who's right in the middle, half redeemed and half not redeemed. Now, Bishlama LeRabba Mokim LaBekesef V'Divrei Hakol. According to Rabba, how did you get to that position? Very simple. Because it's Bekesef, and according to Rabba, Bekesef, everyone agrees, both Rebbe and the Chachamim, that a partial redemption with Kesef can be done. Because right now, the Gemara is thinking that our Mishnah is dealing with a case where it's a single owner of the Eved Kenani. So how is this Eved Kenani half free and half slave? Answer, Kesef. And according to Rebbe, according to Rabba, everyone agrees that by Kesef you can do partial redemption. Ella Rav Yosef Lema Rebbe, Velo Rabbanan. But according to Rav Yosef, wait one second, partial redemption, according to Rav Yosef, the modified version of Rav Yosef, so that is a full-blown machlokas. According to Rebbe, you could do partial redemption. According to the Chachamim, you can't. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Now you want to tell me that the author of the Mishnah is Rebbe. Now, first of all, that's not outlandish. I mean, you could say that. Remember, the editor of the Mishnayos are Rebbe. But still, it's a little bit funny, it's a little bit strange, that even in his editing of the Mishnah, he would take a Shitas Yachid, it happens to be his own, and insert that in instead of having the Shitas Rabbim. So the Gemara says that's a little bit strange. So Ama Ravina, top now of Membeza Man Aleph, the Evish Shel Shnei Shutfin. So the way I'm sure this was the way the Mishnah was presented yesterday. And here's the Gemara now offering this is the way that it would work according to everybody, both according to Rebbe and according to Chachamim. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the Eved Kenani is owned by two owners. Two owners now, each one having a 50% share in the Eved Kenani. And here's where there's not going to be any disagreement. When one person divests himself of everything he owns, even though he only owns 50%, but as long as he has a full divestment of his ownership, that works, according to everybody. Even according to Rav Yosef, who says that we have a machlokas, but that's only when one person is giving up part of his share. When one person is giving up all of his shares, everyone agrees that that would work. Which brings us now to the next point of the Gemara. Okay, we're on the very top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Amar Rabba Machlokes B'Shishicher Chetzia V'Hinei Chetzia. Look, we have a Machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim about the partial release of your Eved Kenani. If you are releasing 50% of him but retaining 50% of him, so then Rebbe says that works. The Chachamim say it does not work. However, Aval Shicher Chetzio Macher Chetzio O Nasan B'Matana Chetzio Keva DeKanafik Mine Kule Divrei Hakol Kana. Rabbi says, if you are releasing 50% of your Eved Kenani and also giving up the other 50% share that you own, meaning that you now have a full divestment of your ownership of the Eved Kenani, even though you're only releasing 50% of him, you're only freeing 50% of him, Rabbi says, everyone would agree that it works. The problem with partial redemption is the fact that you are trying to retain a portion of him or her. Right, it's same story with Eved Kenani, Shivcha Kenanis. You're trying to retain a portion of it. But once you have a full divestment of your ownership, so then it works. And it doesn't matter what you do with the other 50% as long as you don't retain it. You can sell the other 50%. You can give the other 50%. If you're free 50% and give away the other 50%, it works, says Rabba, according to everyone. Now, Abaye is going to challenge Rabba from the following. Okay, this part's going to be a little bit tricky. It's not so bad, but just it takes a little bit to keep in mind. What the Gemara is about to do right now is present two brisas. The two brisas are clearly at odds with one another, and now it's just a question of how to explain the two brisas. The Gemara will give no less than four different approaches in terms of how to resolve the two brisas. But the initial approach to it is that it's going to set up as the machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim, to which it's going to pose a challenge to this assertion of Rabba. Again, just to reiterate, Rabba says that if you free 50%, and gift or sell the other 50% simultaneously, so then everybody would agree that that works and that that can be done as long as you are fully divesting yourself of the Eved Kenani.
Doesn't affect the one who gets it have the same dilemma, because now he's got an Eved who
He has the same dilemma. We're not talking about the dilemma, meaning the dilemma's there. Right. What we're talking about is whether it's effective. Whether you're freeing 50% of him is effective or not. So Rabbi says it is. And what about the Chachamim who say that you can't free half? That's only when you are retaining the other half. Once you're making a full divestment, so then you are that is going to be effective.
The slave itself is in the same predicament.
And the slave will then be in the dilemma the Mishnah describes, and then we're going to force. Right. Agreed. We're just talking about whether or not you can even arrive at the dilemma. Good. So Amalei Abaye v'Kulo Pligi Batani. So here we go now. So first, let's familiarize ourselves. Brisa number one. Ha'akosev nechasal l'shnei avadav. So this man is giving away all of his material possessions, and he has two avadim. Likes him, writes up all his possessions and gives it to the two avadim. Now, obviously, the two avadim are going to be splitting it, meaning there are two of them. So they're going to be taking the estate, all the assets of this of their former owner, and they're going to get it all. Now, part of the assets are themselves, right? And again, we're forced to think that they are also part of the estate, and what really they're acquiring are themselves. But keep in mind, each one of them is getting 50%. So what does that mean effectively? It means that each Eved Kenani is owning half of him and half of the other. So now the Braisa says it's fine. So, not a problem when, after the acquisition has been made, after the transfer has been made, each Eved will turn to the other Eved and say, look, I own half of me and I own half of you. So you know what? I'll just free your half. And the other Eved says, perfect, and I'll do the same to you. And they lived happily ever after. Okay, it's a wonderful story.
The estate to begin with.
Huh?
The owner of that estate. Doesn't that get rid of the free of the slave?
It gives them ownership.
They own each other.
They own. In other words, the slave would have been freed had they owned 100% of themselves. The problem is that right now somebody else, in this case the other Eved, still owns 50% of him. But again, that's not a big deal, because then they'll just, you know, with reciprocity, they'll just free each other.
That's assuming that both Eveds have the same value.
Okay, I don't know. It doesn't have to be. I don't know if it has to be half. Anyway, right. The Tanya Yidach, and we learned in another Braisa. Homer Kol Nechsaynusin LaPloni UPloni Avadai Af Atzmam Lo Kanu. Now in Braisa number two, it looks nearly identical, but in Braisa number two, what does it say? No Kinyan. Meaning, even though this person wrote off all of his possessions to his two avadim, and now. What's the difference between Bryson number one and Bryson number two? Ostensibly nothing. And meanwhile, Bryson number two, it says, they didn't make a Kenyan. Okay, so now, we have now the two Brysons in front of us. And obviously, how do we explain that? In Bryson number one, they acquired. And all they have to do now is just simply give each other the 50% of the other Eved Kenani. In Bryson number two, the Bryson number two just simply says, they didn't acquire. Why didn't they acquire in Bryson number two? So my love, HaRebi v'HaRabbanan. Oh, the Gemara says, I know why. Because Bryson number one that says that it works is holding like Rebbe, which allows for a partial redemption. Bryson number two is holding like a Chachamim that doesn't allow for partial redemption. Now, mind you, that Rabbah, you said that when an owner of an Eved Kenani does a partial redemption and divests himself of the other 50%, you said there's no debate. Rabbah, what are you going to do here? We have a situation, it's a perfect situation, where a person gave up, we did a partial redemption on one of his slaves, and at the same time fully divested himself of the other 50%, and meanwhile, sounds like we're still having machlokas. Sounds like in Bryce number two, it's holding like the Chachamim, where it doesn't work. You, Rabbah, claim that it does work. So, the Gemara, that's the problem. This is a challenge against Rabbah. The Gemara is going to give one of four possible answers. Answer number one. Lo. Idi v'idi Rabbanan. Hadamer kula hadamer chati chati. So, in Braitza number one, what happened is that the owner wrote in the contract, I'm giving all my assets over to my two avadim. He used the word kulo. In the Braitza number two, he said chatzi chatzi. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. The Gemara says, in Braitza number two, we only read the first part of Braitza number two. Gemara says, read on. There's more to the Braitza. So, lo kanu. In Braitza number two, in the second part, which we're just learning right now, it actually mentions writing half your estate, which means that in the first part of Braitza number two, the one we saw just, you know, originally, so it means that you wrote kulo, and it still doesn't work. So Purushika Mefaresh. So the Gemara says, no. The way to read Braitza number two, part one and part two, is that two is explaining one. The Gemara says, that's what we're talking about when you wrote chatzi chatzi. Now Rashi over here explains. When he writes chatzi, what's the problem? So Rashi's explanation, which again, is not the only explanation, but again, like we always do, we primarily work with Rashi. Rashi's explanation is because when you write the word chatzi in the contract, I'm giving half the estate to one and half the estate to the other. There's a chance, writes Rashi, that it's the same half that you're giving to both. So the truth of the matter is that they never even acquire the second half. That's why writing chatzi by itself is not going to be enough. Hachinam and Mestaber, the Gemara says, and look, it's logical to learn the Braitza this way, that the second part is coming to explain the first part. Because the Gemara says, please consider, if in a case where you write kulo and there doesn't create a kinyan, in a case where he writes chatzi, you think it's a no-brainer, of course it's not going to be a kinyan. So it must be that the second part is coming to explain the first part. Otherwise, we wouldn't need the second part. So the Gemara says, Yimishim halo irya. The Gemara says, look, that argument in of itself is not a compelling argument. Taneseful agluya resha. Because sometimes what the Braisa does is the Braisa gives us two cases, and the second case is just to make sure that we understood what the first case was talking about. So, lagluya resha. Shalotama resha damar chatzi chatzi. Because I could have made the following argument. Really, the first part of the Braisa is talking about chatzi chatzi. Aval amar kulo kanu. But if you use the word kulo, so then it would be a kinyan. Taneseful damar chatzi chatzi. That's why the Braisa gives us the second part where it mentions chatzi chatzi mechlal dereisha damar kulo. So that's telling us it's a gilui. That's telling us that the first part is specifically talking about kulo v'afilo hachilo kanu. And even in that case, it's not kona. Meaning, all the Gemara is just simply saying is, don't tell me that the only way to learn the Braisa is perushi kamefarish. Another way to learn the Braisa is just that the seifa is a gilui on the reisha to tell us how to learn the reisha. Okay. Either way, the point is, however, is that we have now answered. Number one, question. How is Rabbah going to learn the second Braisa? Answer, second Braisa is talking about Chatzi, where the owner is not giving all of his assets to the Eved Kenani, he's only giving half. If he's only giving half, obviously they don't acquire. Here's answer number two. Answer number two is as follows. I'll just introduce answer number two with a halacha. It's going to sound a little funny, but it's true. A man is married to two wives, and he wants to divorce both wives. Okay, writing a get costs money. You have to pay the sofer. So you know what? You say to the sofer, look, do me a favor. Let's make this easy. Okay, for my two wives, can you just write both of their names in the get? Okay, and I'll divorce both of them with the one get. It's efficient. It'll save me money. Is that going to work? So the halacha is, no, that's not going to work. The halacha is that when it comes to the divorce of a wife, each wife requires her own document. Okay. And we just learned earlier this morning there's a gzeira shava between get isha and shechur avadim. So by get isha, it has to be one shtar per wife. So by shechur avadim, it has to be one shtar per shechur. So the Gemara now is simply saying it's another way to resolve the two braisas. The braisa that says that it works is because you wrote two shtaros. The Braisa says that it doesn't work is because what you tried to do is you tried to provide an emancipation for two with one shtar. The Gemara says that's another way of resolving the two Braisas. Kam b'shtar echa, kam b'shnei shtaros. B'shtar echa, my irya, chatzi chatzi, afil amar kula nami lo kanu. The Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? I'll tell you the problem. The problem now is that the Braisa sent us on a wild goose chase. Because the real issue is you tried shichur with two of adam with one shtar. Now the Bryce is talking about where he only gave up half of his estate. That's not the real issue. The real issue is that you used one shtar to be meshachrer to avadim. So hachinami kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we'll do. We'll learn the Braisa with the understanding of what the principal issue is, and then what the secondary issue is. Hachinami kamar. This is how you're going to learn the Braisa. Af atzman lokanu. They didn't acquire themselves, meaning the two avadim, ba'med v'ramamar b'shtar echad. And the reason why is because you only gave one shtar for the emancipation of both of the avadim. Ava b'shnei shtaros kanu. But if you wrote two shtaros, it would have worked. V'imamar chatzi chatzi. And then, even if you write two shtaros, but in each shtar you're only giving up half of your estate, even if I did it correctly, meaning I wrote two shtaros, it's still not going to be good. That's answer number two. Answer number three. Maybe what we could distinguish is where, in case number one, I gifted my entire estate over to the two avadim simultaneously. In Bryson number two, I did with two stars. In Bryson number two, I did it bezeh achar zeh, one after the other. The Gemara says, now let's think about this. Let's think about this answer. Bishlam basar lo kani da halo kani le kama el kama lekne nafsheva lekne lechavrei. The Gemara says this answer is not great, and I'll tell you why. Says the Gemara, because look, in the first Braisa, what you gave is a wonderful explanation, really the only explanation, that the way it works is that if I gift all my estate, all my assets over to the two avadim simultaneously. Good. And again, what did they acquire? I myself made a full divestment. Each one of them acquired half, and then they'll just give the other half to each other. That's great. And that's the way to understand the first Braisa. But in Braisa number two, what are you telling me? It was not done simultaneously. It was done by Zeh Achar Zeh. I turned to the first Eved and I said, here, have everything. And then I turned to the second Eved and I say, here, have everything.
Please.
Okay. The Gemara says, well, if that's true, what did I just do with the first Eved? I gave the first Eved everything.
Right.
I made a full divestment. So I'm no longer the owner of anything. The first Evan now acquired everything. That means that he acquired himself, and God bless him, he acquired the other Evan. So the Gemara says, what did the second Braisa say? Lo kanu. Well, that's not true. The first Evan did make a kinyan. So the words lo kanu don't really work. Ella machvarta, the Gemara concedes, ella machvarta kedeshina meikar. This third answer is not going to work, simply put. A fourth answer. Ravashi Amar Shani Hasan de Kakarle Avadai. Fourth answer is Ravashi's answer. Ravashi says, let's take a problem and let's just look at it totally differently. Meaning, again, Bryce number one says is that if I give my two avadim everything, so they acquire it and they free each other and life is good. So Bryce number two basically comes up with the same scenario but says lo kanu. And so we were bothered, most of today, the first amud of today's daf, is bothered, how do I resolve the discrepancy? So Ravashi says, let's look at it totally differently. In Braisa number two, when he says, I'm giving my avadim everything, how did he refer to them as in the document? He says, my slaves.
At the end of the sentence.
So it kind of belies the fact that he's freeing them when he refers to them as my slaves. So the Gemara says, that's Ravashi's solution. The reason why it doesn't work is because in the document that you're freeing them, you actually refer to them as my slaves. It's a stira mineube in the shtar itself that you can call them your slaves and be freeing them at the same time. Now, to be fair and honest, by the way, how else are you supposed to refer to them in the document? Like, what other terminology are you supposed to use to describe them? So, right, in other words, it could very well be that it's not thing one, thing two. Right, that they have names, and you can refer to them as their names. This is Ravashi's solution. So Amalei Rafram le Ravashi v'dam avadai sheyukvar. So Rafram says to Ravashi, I don't know if this is such a compelling answer. I'm going to show you a Mishnah Braisa that clearly indicates that when you use the word avadai, avadai can mean my former slaves. That's all. And the Gemara says, and look, Milo Tanan, we have a Mishnah. We learned this Mishnah earlier in the Masechta together. If I write over all my possessions to my one Eved, so good, he goes free. So Shir Karka Kol Shulo Yatzal Acheres. But if I leave out, if I retain something for myself, so then he does not go free. Rabbi Shimon Omer, unless I leave out a fraction of the estate, so outside of that, he's going to arrive at his freedom. So, without going into the details of this Mishnah, we learned this Mishnah already before, and we'll learn the Mishnah again. The focus over here for us is the word avadai. Right, you saw what he wrote. Kol nechasai nesuna laponi avadai, my slave. And yet, in other words, the only issue is he retains something for himself. And the Gemara says, "Halo amar achi kani." Now, had he not retained something for himself, the Eved would have gone free. Even though, how did he refer to his Eved in that document? As avadai, my slave. Amai v'ha avadai kakarilei, ela avadai sheikfar. Meaning, what does the word avadai mean? My former slave. So, hachanami avadai sheikfar. So over here, it could mean the same thing, avadai sheikfar. So the Gemara also basically seems to be rejecting this fourth answer of Ravashi, that the word avadai is really the sticking point in Braisa number two. The Gemara says it's not really a sticking point. Avadai could just simply mean my former slave. When all said and done, we have two Braisas, Braisa number one, Braisa number two. The first two answers of the Gemara, seems to have enjoyed. The second two answers the Gemara just provided, the Gemara seems not to have enjoyed. Okay. Next bit of Gemara, the remaining part of today's Gemara, super enjoyable, extraordinarily entertaining. We had a situation in the Mishnah where, at least theoretically, you can have an Eved Kenani who, for the 6-day work week, 3 days are his and 3 days belongs to his master. Now, again, I know in our Mishnah, right? It's only yesterday's daf, and we discussed in the beginning of today's shiur. I know we're going to force the owner to free him. But at least in theory, we have an Eved Kenani who's basically like a taxi, you know, sometimes lights on, sometimes lights off. Okay, so you have an Eved Kenani. Sometimes he's an Eved Kenani, sometimes he's not. And so the Gemara now is going to probe a little bit into this situation and just like wonder some basic halachas regarding an Eved Kenani. So number one, the Gemara says, Nachu Shor. Yom shel rabba la rabba, yom shel atzma la atzma. So let's say there was a negicha shor. Shor go ahead and gored him. So if it's on a day in which he works for his master, meaning he's an Eved Kenani, so the halach is that there's a depreciation, and that depreciation is obviously going to belong to the owner of the Eved Kenani. Because again, on the working day, he's not just an employee, he's an Eved Kenani. He's owned by the owner on that day. So and so whatever depreciation is going to be suffered by that damage is going to go to the owner. Now let's say it's an off day, meaning it's a day where he's not an Eved Kenani. So then he's his own owner, and so therefore he's going to receive the money. So, right? It's strange, but in theory, at least, we understand. There's an off day and there's an on day. So the Gemara says, "Elamiata yom shel rabba yisa shivcha, yom shel atzmo yisa bascharin." So the Gemara says, "Well, if you're is really enjoyable. So if you're right about that, so then we have an on day and off day, and you showed me in the world of mamonos how it would apply." So now, in terms of marriage, what's the big deal? So on Sunday she'll marry a Jew. On Monday he'll marry a Shevcha Kananis. And you just alternate between, you know, each day.
Now, give a get every day to each one, or not?
Yeah. No,
why give a get?
Well, I mean, well, he can't.
He can't be married.
On Monday, he can't. In other words, if Sunday, let's say he's a Jew, right. So on Monday it'd be usher for him to be married to as an Eved Kenani. He cannot be married to a Jew. Anyway, okay, good. So that's the Gemara's suggestion. The Gemara says Yisashichu Yom Shalatz Ma Yisabaschon Isura Ka'amrinan. So the Gemara says no. Let's slow down. even in this theoretical presentation of day on, day off, day on, day off, that works in the world of Mamonos. In Mamonos, we can easily bifurcate a week into some days he's owned, some days he's not owned. And it's easy to just simply assign days of the week monetarily they belong to the owner, and days of the week monetarily where they own to him. But when you're talking about a status, Isser, status, when you're talking, you cannot say that in a status, day on, day off, day on, day off. Status doesn't work that way. Status is, like the English word indicates, it's a status quo. Meaning it's got to be something which is steady. So you can't use a money a design of money and apply it to that of the world of Isser.
How about mitzvah? It's not obligated to the mitzvah.
Yeah, and
that day.
Well, the Gemara doesn't discuss it, but I mean we could apply the same principle. Meaning, right, Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday he'll be putting on tefillin. And Monday, no, again that's right.
Puts his own groom up anyway.
Well. On the days free, he's mechui. Okay, the Gemara does not bring it up. I will admit. Tashma, hey, mis mishechetsu ave vechetsu ben charen. So no saying chati kenas l'rabba. Now, in the event that someone kills somebody's ave kenani, so as a kenas, so you have to pay the not be mezid, right? Your sure muad is involved in the killing of an Eved Kenani. So the halacha is that you have to pay the owner of the Eved Kenani a knas of shloshim shekel. Okay, pasuk in the Torah. So now your shur hamuad locates of all the avadim in the world a chati Eved chati ben charen. And now what? So the heimes mishachati Eved chati ben charen. No, saying chati knas l'rabba. So you pay half knas. V'chatzi kofer liyorshav, and then half kofer, meaning because again he's half slave, half free. On the fact that he's a slave, that's a knas that you pay to the owner. On the fact that he was a free man, kofer, right? Loosely translated as ransom, but basically you're paying your way out of not really being executed. You're not going to be executed for the wrongful death of your shore, but. That's a lot of responsibility that you allowed your shura muad to go around town. So you have to pay kofar. You have to pay the value of that person that you just killed. This person is chatzi ave chatzi ben chorin. Fine, half knas goes to the owner, half kofar goes to the yorshim of the ave kenani. Amai hachanami lemi yom shalaba l'raba yom shalatzmo l'atzmo. So the Gemara says now, why don't we do what we just did a moment ago in the case of negicha? We basically based it on the day of the week. On an Eved day, goes to the owner. On a Ben Chorin day, goes to him. Why not say the same thing over here? Shani hachada kakalya karna. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we're talking about death over here. So death means that it's not just a depreciation value. Death over here means this is it. Meaning this is the final payment. So you can't look at him based on a singular day. You have to look at him now in his totality. What's his totality? Mm-hmm. Half an Evan, half a Ben Chorin. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow with just enjoyable Gemaras. More discussions about how to treat him in this Chati Evan Chati Ben Chorin. Again, it's theoretical. It's more theoretical than practical because we learned back in the Mishnah that we're going to force the 50% ownership group to release him. But at least in this state, you know, how are we going to treat him regarding various halachas?